to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Sometimes the devil is in the details. Just one word makes a difference. You hear about stem cell research. Now, when you hear about stem cell research and you're hearing about all of its successes, all of its promises, you should ask one question before you go any further. What kind of stem cells? Are they embryonic stem cells, or are they adult stem cells? It's a simple question, but the answer to that question will tell you a lot about the ethics of what that research is doing going forward. Now, embryonic stem cell research has been around for a while. It's made a lot of big promises. Has it kept those promises? And what about adult stem cell research? Joining us to talk about the success of adult stem cell research, Wesley Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Duharm Medicine. He's a columnist for National Review Online and author of a recent column titled Adult Stem Cells, Now the Gold Standard. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Why is embryonic stem cell research continuing to be oversold?
I don't know if it's continuing to be oversold because it's not even talked about anymore. And the reason it's not talked about anymore is because it hasn't actually gone anywhere in terms of human application. You may recall in the years 2001 through the end of the George Bush administration, we were told that cures were coming, cures from embryonic stem cell research. And there were those of us who said, well, first off, there's an ethical issue. But secondly, in terms of the science, there are some real problems with embryonic stem cell research. For example, they cause tumors. You might have an immune rejection because you were going to be putting in cells that were a different DNA than your own DNA. And then there was also the issue of the really good advances that adult stem cells were making, and yet because there was an attempt by, quote, the scientists, close quote, which I use not to mean all scientists, but these advocates who are ideological, to overturn the Bush administration stem cell policy, which had some very modest restrictions on embryonic stem cell federal funding. It all got into a big, huge hype, and you may recall even at the Democrat convention, I believe in 04, where Ronald Reagan Jr. got up and said, oh, we're going to have people getting out of wheelchairs and all of this. None of that came to pass. But what has come to pass, as my friend David Prentice, who I think has been on your show, was saying at the time, he's a stem cell researcher, he's now a Charlotte Lozier, is that adult stem cell research is actually entering human clinical applications in some fields, for example, multiple sclerosis and so forth. And so we look some 10 years, 15 years after that big debate, and we see that the embryonic stem cell research advocates hyped and their promises were broken. And most of the things, although it hasn't come through 100%, that people who were saying, well, look at this adult stem cell research, were saying have actually come true.
So what's the basic difference? I mean, neither of us are medical experts or researchers, but it's not difficult even for the layperson to understand the difference, both physically and ethically, between embryonic stem cells and adults. How would you explain it?
Adult stem cells can come from several sources. They can come from your own body. So if you needed a regenerative medical treatment and they wanted to use adult stem cells, they might be able to take your own stem cells and then use those to help treat you. Often that's bone marrow and things of that sort. They can also come from donors, such as bone marrow or umbilical cord blood stem cells. Those are obviously perfectly ethical. If you can use your own stem cells in your own body, it's even better because there will not be an immune reaction because it's your own cells. There's also something called induced pluripotent stem cells. And this is a remarkable achievement. In fact, it won a Nobel Prize. When George W. Bush basically put in these modest restrictions, he was saying he thought that scientists, and he said this in speeches, that scientists could, he believed in their imagination and then their incredible capacities to find ethical ways forward to find what are called pluripotent stem cells. These are cells that can become any cell in the body. Adult stem cells are called multipotent. They cannot become every cell in the body, but they know, depending on the kind of adult stem cell, what kind of cells they can become. Fat can lead to various kinds of cells, not just fat. That they're multipotent. Pluripotent means they can become any cell. And a fellow named Yamanaka, a Japanese researcher, was once in an embryonic stem cell lab, and one of the researchers said, you want to look at the embryos under the microscope that we're destroying in order to derive embryonic stem cells. And he did that. And he thought of his daughters. And he said, there's got to be a way to find pluripotent stem cells, which was why supposedly we had to have embryonic stem cells, because they're pluripotent. But to get them, you destroy embryos. You're destroying nascent human life. And there are many people who have a very real moral problem with that. And so he said, I've got to figure out a way to get pluripotent stem cells without destroying embryos. And he did it. He was able to take normal skin cells, which are called somatic cells, but they're skin cells, and he could actually revert them to a pluripotent stem cell form, then change them again into other forms of cells. And these very ethical cells are now being used in drug testing for cell lines and so forth. They're not really, and there have been some clinical trials with them as well. Meanwhile, the embryonic stem cells have had very little success. There have been a couple of human trials with macular degeneration. And also human cloning, which we're supposed to do therapeutic cloning, where you make a human clone and then turn that into embryonic stem cells and so forth. That hasn't gone anywhere. Although they have succeeded in cloning human embryos, they have not been able to do so in a way that would permit that kind of mass-produced embryonic stem cell research. So right now, embryonic stem cell research has not, and that's why you don't hear much about it, has really not gone where they said it would. All the hype turned out to be just that. The induced pluripotent stem cells won Nobel Prize. Ethical are being used in mainly in drug testing and as cell lines for experimentation. And adult stem cell research, while not going as fast as one might have hoped, have actually been used in human trials and are actually approved in some circumstances.
Make the case, Wesley, that even if embryonic stem cell research had led to the fulfillment of all the grand promises that were made about a decade and a half ago about it, there would still be an ethical problem.
Well, the issue is you're destroying human life to create them. And then you were going to get into a situation where they were going to be creating human embryos, either through cloning or through IVF, creating human embryos for the purpose of destroying it, not just taking ones that were frozen in excess of need, which we heard so much about. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of embryos frozen because in IVF, more have been made than have been required to be used to have babies. And so people, the scientists were saying, well, let us have these because they're doomed anyway, which isn't necessarily true, but is mostly true. Most of them will end up dying unless there's something called snowflake adoptions, where some women are actually having themselves implanted with these embryos and bringing them to birth, a form of adoption. But in order to do it right, you were going to start making embryos for that purpose. And that's treating human beings, even though they're nascent human beings. There's no question, embryology will tell us these are nascent human beings. They're separate human organisms as an object and as something that can be used for an instrumental purpose. Well, if you can do it for embryos, why can't you do it for somebody like Terry Schiavo, who has, according to bioethicists, lost the capacities that give value to human life? And so why not do that too? Well, guess what? There are arguments being made that, well, we should be able to euthanize these kinds of people. And I use Terry Schiavo just because people remember her cognitive incapacity. Well, let's kill them by taking their organs. organ harvest them and while they're still technically alive, but because their value is less because they don't have the cognitive capacities, why not do that? It also leads to things like what we've heard recently in the third trimester and the so-called fourth trimester after birth abortion, where we can treat viable fetuses and even infants in such a way, if they're not wanted, that we can cast them aside. And we saw also with the Planned Parenthood scandal, you know, use these babies for their parts too. And so you end up in a situation when you say that some human lives can be used as if they were just a corn crop. Finding out, well, what is it about these particular human lives that makes them usable as a corn crop? Let's say they're not conscious or they're not self-aware. Well, then there are other human beings who have that same lack of capacity. Can we use them as a corn crop too? And guess what? The answer tends to be yes, because we're a logical species. We take ourselves where our first principles lead us.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He is author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do-Harm Medicine. He's columnist for National Review Online and author of a recent column titled Adult Stem Cells, Now the Gold Standard. You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Early bird registration before April 1st is $115 and includes three meals. Child care is free thanks to the Lutheran Church Extension Fund sponsorship. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to continue our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We're going to be answering the question, what is this term we hear all the time about contextualization? And what does it have to do with the fourth chapter of the Book of Proverbs? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why am I joyfully Lutheran?
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Women's Missionary League is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During March, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LWML. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
It's time to register to vote for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voter with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A registration form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.